And we're going live on, we have no light, but we're going to use the light we have. All right.
Hello and welcome to this WAP Doesn't Lie podcast, a show about he has a plan to unify patriots with guest Matt. Use the Podbean app to call in. Now here is your host, Felix Andreoni.
Oh, thank you for that applause. Isn't that great? What an audience we have.
Lovely. Really wonderful.
Everybody's clapping. This is our podcast, This WAP Doesn't Lie. Catch me on YouTube. Catch me on Podbean. Go to Podbean. It's a free app. It's fantastic. If you don't want to listen to me, you could listen to other podcasters. It's a great app, Podbean. It's free. You can upload the app. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. What's better than free? You know what I'm saying? Today we have a guest, Matt. He'll be calling in a minute, and the show is going to be good because Matt has some excellent ideas and he has a plan how to unify the United States. He has a plan. Matt has a plan on how to unify all the patriots to get together. And we're going to wait for Matt's call. We're also live on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you just put in our name, This WAP Doesn't Lie, and you'll pop us open, and we're on live. Our video is running right now as we're talking.
Is it not true that again next week we will be back on Facebook?
Yes. Next week we also will be on Podbean. We'll also be on YouTube, and we'll be back on Facebook. And the reason, you know, we're having Matt calling in is a lot of reasons, and he has some good plan. You know, it's about freedom of speech. And this is Matt now, I believe. Hello, you're live on the air. Is this Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Felix?
How you doing? We were just talking about you. And
okay, I heard.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I tried to look for some way to join through video, but there was nothing as far as I could tell. So.
That's okay. Next week, we're going to be back on Facebook. And, you know, and I was telling the audience out there, you have a great plan how to unify the United States and get us back on track. Plus, what's upsetting to me the most, and then you could talk about this, on how we could go about fixing this big issue, is freedom of speech. And I understand the whole process about Facebook and Twitter. They're private organizations and they're allowed to do whatever they want. If the government turns around and changes their code, I believe, what is it, Ann? 230?
Yes.
On the books. Mm-hmm. This way people can actually sue them, you know, for stopping your freedom of speech. And what gets me upset is, again, I'm glad you're calling in. You're going to give your plan. What can we do about this, Matt? What can we do
about the freedom of speech?
Yes. How do we convince these companies to stop suppressing people's freedom of speech?
Well, we could just refuse to use their services until they capitulate, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and then, of course, I have a whole, you know, explanation for how we accomplish that. But, of course, it's all part of, you know, the presentation that I have set up for tonight.
All right. I'll give you the floor. Let's see what you got.
All right, I gotta really quick. I just gotta switch over to my Bluetooth because.
Go ahead, no problem.
So give me one second.
No problem. And like I said to the audience, while Matt's doing this, he has a plan which I like because it doesn't involve any violence. And again, violence, right. Violence gets you nowhere, nowhere.
Well, before you start, you know, traditionally the impetus that has always united the United States has been a war. You know, because all of a sudden you have a united front and a common enemy.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So if we're in new times, I'm also looking forward to hearing your plan to see how to do it without physical war.
Yep. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right about that. A common cause absolutely can unite people, and I think we're at a time right now where pick one. Well, there's so many at this point that we're just basically all we got to do is just but not only that, I can even tie them all together. I can tie it if people have their own priorities, right? I'm able to do that. I can tie the priorities together.
Yes.
So yeah, let's get started. I should ask you, how much time have you allotted for me?
We have an hour, so we started at 8 and we'll end it at 9.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to take anywhere near that long. Probably I might have about 15 minutes of stuff here.
Well, that's fine. We'll do a half hour and then maybe after. The only way people can call in right now, because we're using the only line we have, if they go in through the Podbean app, I believe I can have you on the line and them also. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Excellent. Yeah. Perfect. That'd be great. Okay. So let me get started.
All right.
So I'm just going to, you know, I know we just kind of kicked it off a little with this little bit of discussion we just had, but I'm going to go right to the beginning of the presentation. So I'm going to kind of backtrack. I'm going to backtrack from what we were just talking about.
Go ahead.
So at the end of the day, really what we're discussing is politics, right? We're basically trying to figure out, like, in other words, we're just citizens of this nation, but we have these issues, these enormous issues that face us.
Yes.
Like on a daily basis, issues that our government should be addressing, but they're not. And it comes down to the why. Why aren't they? And how do we get them to do the things we need them to do for us? Since that's their role. I mean, that's what they're supposed to be doing, except they aren't. And so this is the reason why. I believe it's been, so I'm 51 years. I'm 50 years old. I'll be 51 this year.
Yep.
And it's been my observation throughout the course of my lifetime that engaging with politics is pointless. The reason why I say that is because politics, when you try to engage with politics, when you try to get the government to solve a problem for you, they're not going to do that if it's not in their best interest. And I know that seems counterintuitive. I know it seems like why wouldn't they? You know, it's what they're supposed to do. But the thing is, in our nation, the problem that we have is that money, and when I say money, I mean rich people.
Yes.
Money influences politics. And this is a very common thing. It's been going on, I think, for as long as we've been a nation. And,
yes.
And people talk about it. There's all kinds of groups and organizations that talk about all the corruption that we have. So corruption literally is the term that we already have in our vocabulary that refers to the fact that money influences politics. And, of course, because of that fact, it's impossible for politics to influence money.
Yep.
It can't happen because if you have two things and one influences the other, you can't have the second thing influence the first thing because it doesn't work that way. The first thing only, and I've got a couple examples for this. So take, for example, a light switch and a light bulb. If the light switch influences the light bulb, when you push the switch up, it turns the bulb on. When you pull the switch down, it turns the bulb off.
Yep.
You can never, ever get the light bulb
to turn the switch on. That's not possible. The system isn't designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use the thing that's being influenced to influence the thing that influences it. It's just not possible. Another example, your car, right? You turn the key to start the engine, right? You can't use the engine to start the key. It just isn't designed to work that way. It doesn't. I know these seem like incredibly like simplistic examples, but this is why thinking that politics is going to influence money is so, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, it's supposed to.
Yeah. Right?
Politics is supposed, the government is supposed to have the power to be able to take actions that are in the best interest of the majority, but they don't do that. And the reason why is because money influences politics. Now, of course, I have examples of that, of this very thing, very serious examples that are affecting all of us today.
All right.
For example, this COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever there's a threat that exists that is so significant that it impacts the entire citizenship of a nation, then it's the government's responsibility to step in and take action.
That's right.
That would reduce the significance of the threat, right?
Of course, that's in the Constitution.
That's in the Constitution. It just makes logical sense. I mean, this is the role of a government.
That's
right. What in this particular case, what would that action be? Well, that comes down to a simple question, and that question would be, if you are trying to slow or stop the spread of a deadly virus, which option would make the most sense? If I gave you two options, one would be to give away masks, mm-hmm. and the second option would be to sell masks. Which of those options would make the most sense if you're trying to slow or stop the spread of a deadly virus?
Obviously, give them away. Give the mask away.
Obviously, it would be to give them away, because the result of doing that would be maximum utilization.
Yes.
Maximum utilization. If you're selling them, it creates problems for some people, not everyone, but it creates problems for some people for two reasons at least.
Yep.
A lot of people live check to check. They don't have the extra money. And then, of course, when it's being sold retail, there's that life or death purchase motivation, and the manufacturers and retailers of PPG want to get that profit, and so they're gonna try to capitalize on that life or death motivation, and so they're gonna try to get the highest price they can for it.
Yep.
When they're selling it to the end user, and so. In other words, now it's not only is it being sold, but it's being sold at a higher price. And this really puts people in a hard spot. You know, if you're living check to check, you're barely able to pay your rent. You know, you got to make a choice. Do I buy PPG or do I pay my rent? And, you know, I don't want to be homeless, so I'm going to pay my rent.
Yep.
And now they can't afford, you know, a lot of people are going to choose not to afford the cost. In spite of the possibility of the harm that may be done to themselves or their family, they're going to opt not to purchase it. And this is why it makes the most sense to give it away, because you get the maximum utilization, which, of course, not only is going to protect people, but also it's going to bring about a rapid end to the pandemic, or at least that's the hope.
And now I could see in the beginning when the pandemic first started and then it started to spread. If you were to say what you just said to me now about that, their answer to you would have been, you know what, Matt, we had to give it to the hospitals first. We can't give it out because there was a shortage of that. And that I could understand, but what about now? And the question is, the question I have to you is, what can we do about it as normal citizens? What can we do?
So, I'm still, so right now I'm going through a presentation and I definitely will get to that question.
All right, go ahead.
Definitely will. So, sorry, I just took a sip of water.
That's all right.
So the thing is, so we know that it makes sense to give it away, mm-hmm. right? But obviously, like I was just saying a minute ago, when the manufacturers and retailers of masks and PPG, when they know that they've got access to that life or death purchase motivation yeah. of the end user, then to them, this is a golden opportunity. They're in their minds, they're thinking, oh man, we can really play around now with the supply and demand aspect of this, you know, this business model. And you know, if we raise the price too high, less people will purchase it. So we got to, you know, drop the price down. But they're basically, what they're trying to do is maximize. They're trying to get the most profit they can from this.
Of course. It's all about money.
It's all about money. And they're really playing on this whole life and death purchase motivation. And see, the reason why this is happening is because if the government was to give PPG away when it becomes available at the earliest possible convenience, as soon as it becomes available in enough supply to give to everybody.
Yep.
If the government gives it away, when the government buys it, they don't have that life or death purchase motivation. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Because for lots of reasons, because when the government buys it, first of all, they want to keep their budget down, their COVID response budget down. They want to keep it to a minimum. And also when you're, as a government, when you're purchasing something to handle a crisis, you want to buy the most of that item that you possibly can so that you can achieve that maximum utilization.
That's
and
right.
So you're trying to get it for the lowest cost. And so, and since you're purchasing these items in response to a national crisis, then it's perfectly okay for a government to tell the manufacturers, listen, you got to sell it to us for like cost or even maybe just slightly above cost. So you can make some profit, but we want to keep the price down so we can give it away to the largest number of people.
Yes.
And so there's lots of reasons why the government can get it for, you know, just the lowest cost possible and then give it away to people, you know, if the government is purchasing it. And so obviously from the manufacturers and the retailers point of view, this was totally unacceptable. Because when you have to sell to the government at just above cost, then that totally eliminates that almost unlimited profit potential that exists when you're retailing it and selling it to the end user.
Yep.
And so this was totally unacceptable to the manufacturers and retailers of PPG. And so they told the government, they said, no, you're not going to give it away. We're going to sell it. Because we want that profit.
Exactly.
And the government capitulated. And this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of where money influences politics. And the end result is not only are we not slowing or stopping the pandemic, but it's getting worse. In fact, America is among the worst in the world. Mm-hmm. I think we're number four. We're the fourth worst in the world.
That's a shame.
As far as how bad it has spread and the number of people that have died as a result.
That's a shame.
Yes, it is a shame. It's a shame that we put profit above the lives of American citizens.
Yeah.
You know, that's, this is basically so. So let's, I just want to really quickly, I want to point out exactly what our government's response model was, which was to do nothing or do nothing that's having any significant effect or impact, And then to give us advice, you know, social distancing, 6 feet apart, everybody stay 6 feet apart. Right. And then, and then, you know, good luck, pat on the back and good luck. I wish you the best. This is basically the model of our government's response to this threat that faces every American citizen.
Yes, and, it is.
Which is, you know, I'll get into it later why that's just unacceptable. And we absolutely, American citizens, we absolutely need to demand that the government does take the action that they're supposed to take. So obviously, the reason why people died, the reason why I'd say a huge number of the people who died from COVID in America is because of the fact that money influences politics. Most of the people who were affected by COVID in America did not have to be. It could have been, like you said, it could have been stopped in the beginning, or as soon as, you know, this personal protective gear became available.
Yes.
If they would have provided it to everyone, we could have had a much better response to
And another thing, I have to agree with you 100% on that, because I have worked in nursing homes for the past 25, 30 years. And the particular home I was in had no personal protective equipment for any of the staff, and let alone the residents. And that was sad. When COVID hit that nursing home, they were begging for the equipment. I can remember. Yeah, they were begging for it. I can remember our executive director calling the state of Connecticut, and not only the Department of Public Health that's responsible, that oversees the nursing homes, even the governor's office, begging for some type of mask, gowns, gloves. And it took months. My boss at the time had to go out to a store. And what he did was he bought aprons that you would use, like, you know, for cooking. He went and bought, he bought aprons and gave them to the CNAs and the nurses. Can you imagine that? So you're right. You're right. 100% when you say that money influences politics, 100%.
And what you just said is a perfect example of where the government basically just sent us out on our own to fend for ourselves.
Exactly.
What you just said, that's a perfect example of how that's literally what happened. They just told us. And so this is not how a government should respond to a threat that faces a nation. So I've got a couple other examples of money influencing politics, and I'm pretty much getting through this now. Another example is this nation should have been almost totally shut down completely, except so many businesses were complaining that if we did, then how could they make profit? How could they? They think of all the profit they'd be losing during the pandemic,
which they will.
And, you know, and so the government capitulated to that as well and said, okay, fine. And then you got this thing, you know, the essential businesses, which, by the way, I think I don't have to tell you, it's probably a huge percentage of the so-called essential businesses that aren't so essential.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Most of the people of the nation, I mean, if you think about it, so we always hear this term, social distancing, you know, well, what's the best way to social distance is to stay home.
Yes, I agree.
Right. The best way to social distance is to stay home.
Yes.
And except the vast majority of people in the nation didn't get to. We all had to keep going to work, but who did get to stay home? The ones who were crying about making the profit.
Mm-hmm.
right? They're the ones who got to stay home while we're out, you know, continuing to create that profit for them.
Yes.
So they're home doing the real social distancing.
That's right.
And we're out putting ourselves at risk because our government didn't order a shutdown. Instead, they capitulated to the people who insisted on being able to make profit even in a pandemic, and here we are.
We're,
you know, most of us did not get to stay home. So again, that's just another example. The fact that we didn't do an effective shutdown. I mean, what we refer to as a shutdown is absolutely not what a shutdown means. I've heard stories of other countries where, like, nobody went to work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the whole country. I mean, obviously, you still need doctors and police, obviously, during a pandemic, you know, firefighters, of course.
Yeah. All the essential workers you have to have, even the food stores. You know,
and how about all the truckers who deliver the food?
And the truckers.
Truckers, yep. Of course. Yep, you need distribution, you need
emergency
responders, doctors, you know, medical staff, of course. But the rest of everybody should have been able to stay home, but that's not at all what we're doing. So that's another example
Okay. What's another example you have?
So another example of, and now this is not related to COVID. So this is just another example of money influencing politics. So, and I know you like this topic. This is, you and I both do, is censorship that comes from various so-called social media platforms.
Yes.
In our nation, so let's say a social media platform, whichever one it is, could be any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Say a social media platform decides to censor you or the content that you put on that platform.
Yes.
The thing is that if we look in our Constitution, and now I'm about to embarrass myself because I don't exactly have the Constitution memorized. I believe it's the First Amendment is freedom of speech.
That's right.
Okay. So the First Amendment, freedom of speech, you know, you're supposed to be allowed to say whatever you want, whenever you want. I mean, there's limitations.
Of course. You can't yell fire in a movie theater and there's no fire. You'll get arrested.
Absolutely. Because in doing so, you've harmed other, you potentially could have harmed other people.
Of course.
That's not something you should be free to do.
That's right.
You know, of course there's limitations. However, if you're just talking about something that you feel strongly about and it's not going to harm anyone when you say it, then you should, your right to speak and have your voice heard, it should be protected by the Constitution.
Yes, you would imagine.
By the First Amendment. You would imagine. But if these sites are censoring you, then that's taking away your freedom of speech. And because they're basically picking and choosing what information people will have access to.
Yes.
A stipulation, I think, in the First Amendment about freedom of the press,
mm-hmm.
you know, is that information should be freely, you know, disseminated to whoever wants to hear it.
Yes.
But if someone chooses for you what information that you're going to have access to, they're also violating freedom of the press. They're violating freedom of speech. They're violating all these rights. And so, obviously, I don't even have to mention it. It's the government's job to step in and mm-hmm. protect your right to freedom of speech.
It should be.
And so it should be. And once again, these social media platforms, whichever one, you know, could be Facebook, could be any of them, right? If government isn't stopping those actions, once again, they're being influenced. Politics is being influenced by money. And this is, and so, and there's plenty of examples. Like, that was just three that I gave: the COVID,
yep.
You know, the freedom of speech. These are, and then the fact that we didn't do a shutdown. you know, they should have given away PPG. They should, you know, they should shut the country down, and we should have freedom of speech, but we don't, because the government didn't do any of the things they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because money influences politics. So this is clearly, there's no question, this is a problem that we have and that we're facing. And it's obviously having a hugely negative impact. I think I read today or a couple days ago that 500,000, or I might, that might be a little high. I think it was 500,000 people died in America.
From
COVID?
No, I don't think it's that high. And can
it's not that high.
What's the total?
That they anticipate by the end of June, we'll have 500,000 people dead from COVID. Right now, we're hovering about 400,000.
Oh, wow.
400,000.
Yeah.
Still, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that
that's
is.
That's a lot of people.
That is.
That didn't have to die, that shouldn't have, you know, if we had responded to the this the way that the government
yeah.
should have, but they didn't. They didn't, and the reason why is because money influences.
Of course it does. But then again, when you think about a total shutdown, I mean, how long do you shut it down for? And I think the effect of the shutdown itself is deadly, you know, almost as deadly as the virus, you know, because you have a lot of people that are so afraid to even step out the door. I know a lot of elderly people, they don't even want to go to the doctor because they're afraid if they do, they'll contract COVID. It's really a bad situation overall. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And even the virus itself is still out of control. And the sad part about it is all these companies that are making the antiviral medication is not putting out enough.
Well, now,
if I might interrupt, you know, another factor that plays into supplies for COVID is we're now a global economy.
Uh-huh.
So it isn't just the United States fighting for syringes and N95
yeah.
masks and all the rest of it. The whole world has COVID. So the whole world is competing for that
yeah.
same material. So he who has
yeah,
the
yeah,
most
yeah.
money wins. And depending on how you think of it, you know, other nations are in a better position at times than we are to buy and influence and be closer to those products that are being made. Many of those products aren't even made in the United States anymore. So hence, if it's made in China, the Chinese are going to use it first. It's just something to keep
yeah.
in mind. It's another factor. And we're talking about economies, is we are now a global
yeah.
economy, where before there were clearer lines. Now there's much more.
And Erica wrote that Pfizer, and this is a person writing on, and Moderna are the only two. And I believe there's one other one. Isn't there Johnson? Is it Johnson & Johnson?
Johnson & Johnson, but they have yet to receive the emergency approval.
Yeah.
They're close.
And this person also wrote that they heard bad things about the Moderna vaccine, which I have also.
The interesting thing about Johnson & Johnson, when it does come, is only one shot.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's yeah, a
but I heard I heard the rate's not, it's in the 80s and not
right.
95.
Right, it's a different thing because it's one shot, so it's a whole different recipe.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. So what else?
So your last, the thing you brought up a second ago, you were saying about Ann actually said it's the global economy and all this.
Yes.
And, you know, it's he who has the most money. That's another thing I wanted to point out was, so imagine if our government was purchasing PPG. Well, understand we pay taxes, you know, the government pretty much, you know, technically has an unlimited coffer, you know, for, you know, dealing with situations like this. Imagine how much we spend on our military,
mm-hmm.
right? If we were to just shift some of our expenditures from the military over to dealing with the COVID pandemic, I mean, man, it would have been virtually unlimited amounts of money
yeah.
to obtain the things we need. So as far as that goes, you know, that's a great thing to bring up since, you know, absolutely. See, and then once again, you know, when you're talking about doing the whole manufacturing and retail you know, I don't know, like the that whole model, obviously it creates limitations as to who's going to purchase it, who's going to retail it, how's it going to get distributed. See, when that's all being handled by the government, it's all the government has. The government has semi. The government has the money to purchase and distribute, you know, whatever they need to if they choose to do that. So, as far as that goes, you know, it could have been done, and again, it could have been done efficiently, effectively. It, you know, if they had chosen to take those actions.
Yep.
So there again, it would have it definitely could have been solved by our government.
I think if I was in charge of this whole situation, first thing I would have done, if I was Joe Biden, the president, and I became the president 3-4 days ago, whenever he did, on, what is it, the 20th, the first thing I would have done, I would have called the two major, Pfizer and Moderna. I would have had them in the White House and I would have said, listen, how much of this vaccine can you get to me like tomorrow? I want to know. And if they said, you know what, Mr. President, we'll have 100 million doses but within a week, what I would have done, I would have ordered the military, since I'm in charge of the military, I would have ordered them. And what I would have done, I would have started mass injections. I would have used every single stadium I could, every single ball stadium, every single stadium I could. And I would have filled those stadiums up with 20, 30,000 people at a time. Had them all, you know, wear masks, and I would have separated them, you know, 6 feet, 8 feet apart. And I would have had my soldiers trained to give an injection that wouldn't take long.
Well, remember two things. Pfizer took the warp speed money from the government to develop their vaccine.
Of course. And it all boils down, like Matt was saying, it's about money.
Moderna did not. Yeah. Moderna took the risk and spent the money on their own. They are not behooven to the whims of the president.
From what I heard, though, even though Pfizer didn't accept any funds.
No, Pfizer did.
They are now.
And actually, the vaccine, I just read, it's made in Michigan and Massachusetts, so it is made onshore.
Because Pfizer's vaccine, from what I read and understand, is the best, even though it's two injections.
Yeah.
And so is Moderna. Yes, go ahead.
You just made an excellent point, and this is one of the things I did want to call attention to is the fact that when you brought up our stadiums, this is an excellent point that you're making right now, is that we're not limited to the resources that people think of in their mind, you know, the standard like distribution system, the standard.
That's right.
Right. We can absolutely declare like a national crisis, and all of a sudden, all kinds of things become resources in a situation like that when everybody's pulling together and doing everything they can to respond to something like this. But that's not what we did.
No.
One other thing to consider for the Pfizer vaccine is it has to be kept like minus 70 degrees. It's very hard to handle. It's a whole different thing than Moderna, which is much more durable and it doesn't need that same level of care.
And I heard Johnson & Johnson, when those should be out next week, is the same as Moderna.
Right, but more durable. Yeah. Still has to be kept cold, but not frozen.
Another thing, what I would have done also, besides doing this in mass production, with a large amount of people, again, keeping them 6 to 8 feet apart, I would have went to the states, the red states that needed the most. That's where I would have, you know, started off.
Right. When you said red, I thought Republican. When you said red, I heard Republican. I was like, wait, what?
You know, when I first came here in the United States, I was in second grade, and I remember at Broad River Elementary School, they brought us all in and they gave us sugar cubes. Do you have to go through that at your school?
Yeah, they did that.
Sugar cubes for what?
I think it was for measles.
And the only, you know, I'll tell you funny.
Yeah, didn't they? Yep, they put something in it.
But my point is, like it was a mass distribution of a vaccine.
There you go.
And there was no choice involved. We all marched and got it.
I have to mention this. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but this is funny. Well, you said sugar cube. My mother told me when I got circumcised in Greenwich Hospital.
How old were you?
I was a little baby. I don't remember.
People get circumcised at all.
I said, oh my God, what did they do? Yeah. And, you know, she said, well, they put a little sugar cube
right
on your tongue. I held it there and you were licking it and they circumcised you.
You've never been to a Brie?
No.
Oh,
no.
Never mind.
All right, go ahead. Now we're all, I don't want to get all off the subject. Go ahead.
So now it comes down to what's the solution to all this. Since the problem is that the government is, the politics is influenced by money.
Yep.
Then the solution, the pretty obvious solution to me would be for us to influence the money directly.
And how do we do that?
Okay. And the way we can do that, there's several ways. Like, I always like to, at this point, I like to reference the unions in America way back when unions were their strongest.
Yes.
And the reason why they're not as strong now as they used to be is because most of the biggest, most powerful unions have signed away their right to strike. They have what's called a no strike clause in their contract.
All right.
So they're no longer, as long as they're under a contract, they're no longer allowed to strike. And so, which of course is ironic because striking used to be the thing that gave them the power to demand to have a contract.
Yes.
And then, ironically, then what they did once they had contracts was to, in the contract, sign away their right to strike.
Mm-hmm.
So that was obviously very ironic. However, before they did that, before they signed away their right to strike, unions used to be very powerful. And the reason why is because when a union goes on strike, what they're doing, the effect that has is now they're no longer working. They're no longer producing products.
Yes.
And so because they're not producing products, there's no revenue coming in. And so in that way, they effectively cut off the revenue stream to the investors.
Yep.
And this is what had the largest effect in terms of getting them to sit down at the table and negotiate with the union leaders and reasonably and rationally discuss what the terms of their contracts would be, what their safety guidelines would be on the job. There were all kinds of things. You know, the 40-hour work week came out of all that.
Yep.
Holiday pay, overtime pay, vacation pay, all these, and the fact that, you know, taking vacations. Also, they were able, unions were able to have, get child labor laws written.
Yep.
You know, there were all kinds of things that the unions were able to solve because they were organized. And by being organized, when they would go on strike, they were able to effectively cut off the revenue stream. And because they did that, they were influencing the money directly.
Yes.
And that was what got results, was influencing the money directly. Because obviously, if money influences politics, then it you know, you just do the math, then obviously what we need to do is influence the money directly. And this is how we can solve these kind of problems like this.
All right.
So, and then, of course, there's other examples as well. You know, if you get enough members, we can do a boycott. You get enough people involved in this organized effort and we can boycott companies, right? And there again,
exactly,
cut off their revenue stream.
That's right.
You know, and those are just two examples of the ways that we can have an influence on where the money's going and who we can, in that way, we can take collective actions. And by collective action, I in no way mean anything where someone would get harmed. So whatever actions we're taking, it's strictly just to influence money and the flow of money and where that money goes and who it goes to.
Yes.
And then by doing that, by being very selective in that way, then we can influence the money directly. And then that'll This is how you solve this problem where money is influencing politics.
And
we
that
can just skip this.
That's right. And that's true to a certain extent because Facebook has already lost billions of dollars because of their censorship from a lot of people. I mean, it's not only me. I've been censored so far, I think 14 separate times since I've been speaking out against the way they were treating President Trump. And also, just like Erica wrote, just not Facebook, don't forget Twitter also. And Twitter is losing large amounts of money. The problem is it enough? Are they losing enough to step back and say, you know, because they're worth billions. And I don't, you want my personal opinion? I don't think Zuckerberg cares at all. I really don't. And
no, they don't.
I think he'll continue to do this and suppress freedom of speech until, and also another, the viewer wrote, Jack Dorsey doesn't care either. I think they'll continue to do that even if their company was driven into the ground, Facebook and Twitter.
That's fine.
And I hope it happens.
Well, you have to.
We could absolutely.
You have
I'm
to,
sorry, Anne.
You
what
have to
you
think.
Saying?
I mean, they do have other influences, you know, that they need to
report
to the stockholders of those companies. I mean, that's the way capitalism is built.
Yeah.
The idea is that the individual can be part of the owner, you know, ownership of a company.
Well, you look at another aspect of suppressing freedom of speech, Newsmax, which I never even heard about Newsmax until I saw an advertisement on Facebook. And now I watch them. I was watching Fox News, and Fox News, I no longer wanted to watch them. You have all these other news networks, CNN,
NBC,
BC, calling out on TV, calling for the closure of Newsmax, another news organization, because they're in favor of Trump.
Oh, that's competition. That's capitalism. That's the way it's built. That's the way our economy is built. Mess me and win.
Yeah.
But I think Matt has a good idea here. If we could band together and get enough people
to
make noise without firing a shot, then we
not one shot.
Then you've done something great.
Not one single person has to be harmed. And here's the cool part about what you said a minute ago. When you said some of these people, like Zuckerberg, let's say he goes, no, I don't care if people boycott me until I go under. I'm going to continue to censor people.
Yep.
Listen, when he does that, understand, he'll go under, and then all the other companies out there are going to see that, and they're going to know that we stood our ground, and it resulted in the end of Facebook. So you see, that's fine. They want to stand their ground. They can absolutely do that, but we'll send a message out.
Yes.
By standing our ground. And then this is how you strategically, you know, take these actions. Now, one of the things I wanted to say about that I had written down here. People say that I hear this all the time. People say that it'll be impossible for us to organize. And when I hear that in my mind, I'm immediately thinking to myself, I don't know why people think that. I think the reason why people think it'll be impossible to organize is because they're listening to all the propaganda out there.
Mm-hmm.
Propaganda tells you, oh yeah, it'll be too hard. Everybody's at each other's throats. We're never going to be able to get people together. And actually, if you just stop and think about what it means to organize, it's really not difficult at all. In fact, because for lots of reasons, but I'll just cover a few. The thing is, one of the things you need is a common cause,
mm-hmm.
right? You absolutely need a common cause. Well, Well, we've got that, the COVID, the government's failure to respond to COVID the way they should have.
Yeah.
Right. There's your common cause. Okay. So right there, I'm done. I just gave. So as far as that one goes, we're covered. So another one, another issue with organizing is getting people to participate. Well, I could see people thinking it would be difficult if the participation were significant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was asking someone to drop their entire life and devote their entire life to this organized, you know, this organization. Yeah, fine. I could see people saying, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But all we're talking about here is if I was to go on the website and type in on the website, don't shop at Home Depot until further notice, right?
Yes.
How hard is that? Just go to Menards. Just go to, Lowe's. You know, one of yeah. the Lowe's.
Yep.
Just go to, how hard is that? That's not hard at all.
Yes.
That's not hard at all.
I think, and so again, the hard part is to get enough people together. That can make an impact on these corporations' pocketbook. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do.
So now here's the thing I want to point out about what you just said.
You know, one thing, another viewer wrote, and this makes a lot of sense, getting people to leave their comfort zone is no easy task. And just like you said, right. if I go to Home Depot all the time, I might say the hell with it. But you know what? I think if the cause will override the compulsiveness to go to Home Depot. You know what I mean? I think if the cause is in your mind much worthy than to go out of your way a little bit, I think people will do it.
Okay. And now here's one other thing that I think will help answer all these questions and really get people to think about how possible it is to organize.
Yep.
So if you consider how many people in our nation engage with politics, what percentage, and when I say engage, don't think vote, right? Because I know a lot of people don't vote, but that doesn't mean that they don't engage with politics. Like, people absolutely watch the debate.
Of course, or talk about it. Yep.
Or even just talk about it, right? Mm. How many people really do engage with politics in some way, form, or fashion?
Yeah.
And I would say that's virtually every citizen in the nation. And so if you stop and think about that, the thing is that they're engaging, they're spending their time doing something that actually is impossible.
Yes.
Right. So people say it's impossible to organize. And I'm standing here right now telling you it's impossible to get politics to influence money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that really is impossible. And yet everybody engages with it. And this is what I'm saying. Let's stop doing that. Let's stop engaging with politics and let's shift and organize and spend all of that time and effort that we used to spend engaging with politics. Now let's take that time and engage with organizing. And I promise you, it'll absolutely happen.
Well, it proves to work when you boycott a certain store or even Facebook.
Oh yeah.
I forgot what day it was, but it was on, I know it was on a Friday, and people were saying, do not go on Facebook. And if you do go on Facebook, do not click on any of their advertisements. Cause of course, you know, Facebook knows that you went on and purchased something, and that's what really is paying Facebook all that billions and billions of dollars is all their advertisement. And I encourage people not, you know, I use Facebook myself, but I will never click on another advertisement again. And what was the other site they just pulled away? What was the name of it?
Parler.
I was on Parler. And just like you said, Facebook probably influenced the companies that were hosting Parler's website.
Sure, because Amazon ships what you put on.
Of course. And I don't care what anyone says. I guarantee you Zuckerberg was on the phone to Amazon, to Sony.
Google services
and said, listen, I want Parler stopped.
So, Matt, who is the likely target?
And that is called collusion.
The likely target of?
A boycott.
Oh, well, where do we begin? Right? Because we know that this corruption, which is really what I'm talking about this whole entire time, we know it goes on all day long, every day. Right? Virtually almost every politician is bought and paid for. Which means that it's pretty much happening everywhere. And so then this is the first things first. Once we have a large enough organization of organized people, then we have to start looking into where do we begin? You know, it's kind of this big thing. And then, you know, I'm absolutely certain collectively we can all work that out together. Like our plan, our action plan,
probably
exactly where we're going to begin, where, you know, how, what actions we're going to take, how are we going to influence their revenue stream? And then we can all sort that out together. It doesn't have to be something that any individual person would determine by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, we could certainly work all that out together.
Listen, we have 3 minutes left. I understand you have a website. Do you want to tell the listeners, what's your website?
So the website address is e99unum.com. And that's the letter E, 29, U like umbrella, N like November, U like umbrella, M like Michael. So e99unum.com, and you have to type the whole thing in. Somebody told me not that long ago, they just typed in e99unum, and Google showed them some site that was not mine. So it's you absolutely have to type www.e99unum.com, the whole thing, and then hit enter, and then it'll take you to my website.
Yep.
And on the main page, there's a link that says join us. And the first things first, I want to point out to everybody that it's free to join. I don't want anyone's money. What I'm trying to do is get us all together on one website so that we can all work together to solve this problem.
And I want to say to people listening, I did join your site, and I know you're in the developing stages of it. So So Matt is going to be working on it. And I have to say, I'm going to try to promote your site. I like your idea, the way to do this peacefully and through, through organization and people, which you will need a lot of people. You will need millions of people. And listen, it can be done. And
it's very easy, in fact.
Exactly. And like Matt said, it's free. He's not asking for money. There's nothing on his site to collect any kind of funds at all. All he wants to do is organize people. So this way, like I've been saying, I'm sure Matt would take a vote amongst all the people that join the site and say, listen, what can we do about social media suppressing our freedom of speech? And if everyone agreed and said, the majority of the people said, listen, let's boycott Facebook, I'm in. If you get millions of people to do this, like you said, it will have an effect. And someone just put up repeal Section 230. And that is excellent. Imagine if Matt...
That's another way.
Exactly. Imagine if Matt had 10 million people right now in his site, and everyone sent emails out to all the senators, all the congressmen, and said repeal Section 230. And it was repealed. I guarantee you these social media sites number one, either they change their policy and stop suppressing freedom of speech, or they'll be gone, completely gone.
Now here's another thing I want to add to that.
Yes.
Imagine if we got 50% plus. So let's say we had 51% of the people in America, 51% of voters, all joined E99 Unum.
Yes.
Then we could literally pick and choose the politicians that we could put in any office in the nation.
Yes.
And in doing so, we could pick someone who's going to go in there and repeal that code.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So that's yet another way that we can have an impact directly on our nation and you know, changing the shape of the way our society, the way our government handles, you know, situations that we face. Could I just take like about 60 more seconds
go
to
ahead.
Point out one last
no,
thing?
No, go ahead. Go okay. ahead.
I'll try to be quick. So I want to recap a thing I said earlier, almost at the very beginning of this. I had mentioned that the current response model of our government to this COVID pandemic was to basically do nothing.
Yes.
Right. And then do nothing effect that it was effective anyway. So they're pretty much doing nothing or doing none of the things that they were supposed to do, like giving away PPG.
Yes.
And then to give us advice, right? Oh, here's some advice, 6 feet apart, right? There's your advice. And then a good luck, an attaboy. Now, imagine if they applied that same model, let's say, to like war, right? Let's say some nation invades America or tries to invade America. And the government says, we're not going to fly any fighter jets over there. We're not going to roll any tanks. We're just going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do nothing. And we're going to keep all the gun manufacturers open. And we're going to keep all the gun retail shops open. And you all can go out there and purchase whatever you need to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you advice. We'll give you advice, you know, keep your head down. And run from one position of cover to another position of cover, you know, run everywhere you go. There's your advice and good luck.
Yep.
Right. Imagine if they applied that same response model to. By influencing the money directly, we can do it without even shedding one drop of blood.
Well, I have to agree with you. You got a good idea, and I hope you do gain a lot of people joining in. And the way to do that is put yourself out there, you know, just put yourself, go on any kind of talk show, podcast, and I'm going to send you a couple of sites, and they're free, where what you will do is you will put your information on the site and what you're talking about, what you plan on talking about on their podcast, and they will call you, and you will be and I have okay. to, all right. And I have to agree with you. It will work if enough people. And I think you can, but it will take time. But I will send you those sites tomorrow because at another hour, I got to watch the McGregor fight. So I'm a big MMA fan.
Okay. All right.
One way to maybe gain access to attention to your website, Matt, would be to create a Bernie meme. Put yourself in Bernie somewhere. Put him in sitting next to you on a ride.
That's right.
And post a thing. You might get some.
That's right.
Get some viewers.
It's all about putting yourself out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
well,
listen,
that's what I'm trying to do.
I think
that's why I wanted to talk on your.
I think what caught me originally with you, and I'm a totally honest person, right? I only got a minute left, is you're very presentable. You talk very well. And I'm a good sense. Next week on Friday, I'm having a show on, is there life after death, right? And this show, this show is about, I'm going to tell my story when I was 18 years old. And I died for 6 minutes and I had an out of body experience, but I have a good sense of judgment and I have a good sense of people, and you have a good heart. I just wanted I just wanted to tell you that I sense it when I look at you, talk to you, I can feel it. And you really, you really want to help people. You're a good man.
This is my plan. That's what I want. All I want us all to have a better life.
All right, Matt. Good talking to you. Listen, be safe.
Thank you.
Be safe when you're out there.
I will try. Thank you very much for having me on here. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Have a good night.
Take care. You too.
All right, guys. That was a good show. Matt had some excellent ideas, I have to say. Excellent. And if you guys want to send me a message of any other podcast that you know of that Matt could probably come on a radio station or anything, send me a message and I will forward that to Matt. And next week, like I said, I'm going to have a special show Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's about, is there life after death? And when you hear my story, you will see that there is. And I truly believe it. So tune in Friday. And I probably will be on at on Facebook also, and also YouTube. And of course, Podbean. And Podbean, I just started podcasting. I think I've done maybe 10 shows already on Podbean, and I'm just getting this swing of things. So, you know, this is all new to me. You know, remember, I'm old school. I used to, you know, I put on the radio. You know what I mean? So this is all new to me. All these electronics here and all these boards I have, you know, very new to me. Listen, guys, be safe out there. Be safe. Wear your mask. Stay away from people. Stay away from people. And I will check out your site. I appreciate putting your network up. I'm going to copy this right now. All right, I'm going to leave you with my Stepping Out song. Mamma mia, 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 mamma mia
Dite mi a putterare, mamma me pensaccia tu.
Oh, right. I got your email. I'm going to give you my email.
Mama dear, come over here and see who's looking in my window. It's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the
I'm at this WAP doesn't lie. This WAP doesn't lie at gmail.com. So send me any information where I could have Matt join, and I'll be willing to come on your podcast, your radio show. Send me that information. I'd love to come on the radio show. Listen, tune in Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to have a wonderful show. All right, guys, be safe. Ciao.